assure you this morning that there is probably no person here happier to be here than me. I am very thankful to be here this morning, and it's indeed an honor to be able to welcome you to our services here. It's a beautiful Lord's Day morning, and we have the glorious privilege today of assembling and worshiping our God. And we have several in our assembly today who are visiting with us. And we want you to know what a great honor it is to have you with us today. And I hope that you are treated in a way that you'll want to come back and you'll want to be with us anytime that you have an opportunity. I just want to encourage you not to rush off too quickly after our services are dismissed, but give us a chance to express our appreciation to you. Hope you'll come back tonight at 5 o'clock for our service at that particular time. I know after our service tonight, there's going to be a parent-teen devotional, and we want to encourage all those to participate in that to do so. Had a couple of good meetings, and I appreciate you folks for letting me be away. And sometimes we may think, are these kinds of things worthwhile? But when someone says, you know, these lessons just changed my life, or this gospel meeting changed the direction of our family, I think these gospel meetings are worthwhile, and I think they are effective, and I appreciate you for letting me be away this morning. I want to call your attention this morning to a passage in Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 31. And here our Lord said to Peter, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren." And he said, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both into prison and into death." Now, these words were spoken the night before our Lord died on the cross the next day. You'll recall in Luke chapter 22, verses 3 and 4, that Judas had departed. Judas had left the supper. He had sought opportunity to betray Jesus Christ. Not only that, but the Lord had just completed the institution of the Lord's Supper. We read about that in verses 16 through 20. And the Lord had taught his disciples also how to be great in God's sight, and that is the importance of being humble in verses 26 and following. And then Jesus turned right around and he said to Peter, "When you are converted, strengthen your brethren." Now, to me, those are truly amazing words. Peter had been with the Lord for some 3+ years, and still he's not converted. That's an amazing statement. Peter had been with the Lord, and he had seen the sick healed. He had seen the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear. He had witnessed those that were maimed. That is, those that maybe were born without certain body parts, certain limbs, or maybe they had those limbs removed in some kind of an accident. He saw those individuals have their bodies restored whole. Peter had seen the dead raised. And yet, Peter is not converted. Peter had heard all the lessons our Lord had taught. He was there on the Mount of Transfiguration when God thundered from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." Now, how could Peter have been with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the incarnate God himself without being converted. And yet that seems to be the case here with Peter. Possibly it could be the case with some who are in this building this morning. And so this morning I want to talk about what it means to really be converted. And I want us to talk about some things that we can learn from this part of God's Word. First of all, this morning, what is the definition of conversion? Could it be that maybe you and maybe me are not really converted to the Lord the way we should be? Now, that word convert comes from a word in the original language that means to turn toward. It means to turn again. It's a turning from and a turning to. It's the idea here that one makes a change, that one makes a transformation. And that idea is certainly presented in many places in God's Word. For example, in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9, we read how that they had turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. There was a turning involved. Or we read in Acts chapter 26 and verse 18 about Paul's mission as the apostle to the Gentiles. He was to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. The Bible says in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted." Here's the idea of a change that is very obvious when one obeys the gospel, when one is baptized into Christ, becomes that new creature, that new creation that the Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. Our Lord said in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3, "Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." Here we are told that we need to be transformed into that childlike innocence. Now, the word convert also can be used in a negative sense. We can turn from good, we can turn from God, and turn to evil. We remember the statement that Peter made in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. He said, "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it happened to them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." And so the word convert can be used in a negative sense, but generally it means that we turn from evil. We turn away from anything that stands between us and God. We turn to Jesus Christ. We turn to his way, to the things that are holy and right. Now, in the next place, though, I want us to note some indications that our Lord was, in fact, right about Peter. Peter was not sincerely converted. Now, Peter really thought he was converted. He said here in verse 33, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison. Lord, I'm ready to die for you." Now, Peter thought he was converted. Mark's account says in Mark chapter 14, verse 31, "But he spake more emphatically, and he said, Lord, though I may have to die with you, I'll never deny you." In Matthew 26 and verse 33, Peter answered and said to the Lord, "Though all men shall be offended because of you, I will never be offended." In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 35, Peter said, "Though I should die with you, Lord, I will not deny you." Now, Peter thought he was converted. But Peter was somewhat overconfident, wasn't he? And Peter did the very thing that he said he wouldn't do. I wonder sometimes if that might not be a problem with us today in the Lord's church, the problem of overconfidence. Sometimes if we're not careful, we may think, you know, there's no way that I would ever become unfaithful to God. There's no way that I would ever commit this sin or that sin. But the Bible says we need to be aware. In the context of bearing one another's burdens and restoring the erring, Galatians 6 and verse 1, we're admonished to consider ourselves, lest we also be tempted. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, wherefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. I think another indication that Peter was not converted is that he went to sleep there in the garden while Jesus was praying. In Luke 22 and verse 44, the Bible says about Jesus that he, being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. And yet the Lord returned, and three different times he found the disciples there sleeping instead of watching. Now, our Lord was in tremendous anguish. The mental and emotional state of our Lord was crucial. And yet the disciples are there sleeping. Could it be that maybe sometimes that we have the same problem today in the Lord's church? Maybe sometimes we are asleep in regard to our responsibilities and our opportunities to serve the Lord. The Bible says in Ephesians 5 and verse 14, awake thou that sleepest, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. I believe by and large today, the church of our Lord really is a sleeping giant. We today have the potential to do anything under heaven that we want to do in the cause of our Lord. And yet many times we are just content to keep house, to keep the status quo, and we really don't use the potential that God has blessed us with to further the kingdom of Christ here upon this earth. There's no limit to what we can do for the Lord with His help. Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world, Matthew 28 and verse 20. I think a third indication, though, that the Lord was right about Peter, that he was not converted, is that he followed Christ from afar off. If you look at verse 54, the Bible says they took the Lord, they led him, they brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. Now, Matthew's account tells us that Peter went in, but he just went in that he might see the end. See, Peter wanted to be close enough to the Lord to kind of know what was happening, but not so close to be involved in the activities that were transpiring at that time. Could it be that maybe that's a problem with us sometimes, that we want to follow the Lord, but we kind of want to follow the Lord from a distance? That we want to follow the Lord from afar off. Maybe sometimes we just kind of want to sit back and we want to see what happens in the church. We kind of know what's going on, but we don't want to really commit ourselves to the point of making a difference, making things happen. Some folks may even want to know what's going on, and yet they're willing to criticize things that they feel are not being done in the way that they should, but they don't want to commit themselves to being actively involved in making a difference. We need to realize that we cannot follow Jesus from afar off. We need to be right there on the firing line, making sure that people know where we stand and why we stand there. Being involved in the Lord's work to the best of our ability. I think another indication, though, that Peter was not converted is because of the fact, and very obviously, he denied the Lord. Now, can you imagine a disciple, an apostle of our Lord who had seen all the things that he had seen, heard all the things that he had heard, and now Peter is saying, I don't know the man. And he began to curse. He began to swear. He began to use profanity, saying, I don't know him. I don't know what you're talking about. Peter did whatever he could to disassociate himself with Jesus Christ. See, Peter was not really converted. I don't think anybody here this morning, at least I don't believe anybody here, would actually come out and say verbally, I don't know Jesus Christ. But we certainly can deny Jesus Christ by our speech. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 37, by your words you'll be justified. By your words you'll be condemned. What about it when we go out and we gossip? We may slander other individuals in order to perhaps make ourselves look better. Lying, the misuse of our tongue, certainly will cause one to be lost. We read in Revelation 1 and verse 8. Sometimes we may deny the Lord by our behavior, by our actions. Maybe it's by our dress. Maybe it's by our conduct. You know, when we have a wrong attitude, maybe our attitude is hard and harsh and rude and unkind and unloving toward others. I know our young people are very excited about school starting back in just a few more days. I just can't believe how quickly, how rapidly this year has just flown by. But you know, it's a challenge. It is a tremendous challenge for our young people to be faithful to God in these times in which we live. I don't envy them one bit at all. And young people, you need to realize that your friends at school, your peers, they don't share the same principles that you have. They don't have the same values that you have. And I understand the pressure to want to be a part, the tremendous pressure to belong. That pressure is tremendous. And many times it's so strong that we can be overcome just like Peter was. To maybe engage in the kind of talk that our friends are engaged in. To behave like our friends behave. I know that 1,000 young people, 1,000 teenagers take their first drink of alcohol every day in America. And out of those 1,000 who take their first drink, 1 out of 10 will become an alcoholic. 3 or 4 out of 10 will be a problem drinker. But the reason that most young people take that first drink is because of peer pressure. We think about sexual immorality that seems to be growing and growing in our land today, and studies have shown that almost all teenagers that engage in sexual activity do so not because they're excited about that or enjoy that. They do it and engage in sexual immorality because they feel like they have to do it because everyone else is doing it. They're concerned about how they're viewed. And so the pressure is tremendous, and we can deny our Lord by our actions. When we refuse to stand up for our principles, to stand up for our convictions, and to let people know that we are on the side of Jesus Christ. We can even deny the Lord by disregarding the Great Commission, to say by our actions that the last command our Lord gave before He went back to heaven to preach the gospel to every individual is really not all that important. Whenever we bring shame and reproach upon the precious blood-bought church of our Lord, we deny Him. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 22, "Or despise ye the church of God?" You see, we ought not be so hard on Peter until we examine ourselves. And so these are just some of the indications that our Lord was right about Peter, that he was not converted. But in the next place, there's a basic hindrance to being converted. It's one that Peter did not really estimate sufficiently. In Luke 22 and verse 31, the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, Satan desires to have you." And that's true. Satan wants to control every one of our lives. He wants us to be lost eternally. That's why we're warned in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 to be sober, to be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. In Matthew 13 and verse 19, Jesus said, "When one hears the word of the Lord and understands it not, then comes the devil, and he snatches away that which was sown in their hearts." See, don't be deceived. Satan's trying to get you right now to discount every word that you're hearing. Satan is relentless. He never gives up. He never stops. We even observe how Satan was relentless in tempting Jesus. The Bible in Luke 4 and verse 13 talks about how when the devil had ended all these temptations, he departed from him but for a season. All throughout the life of Jesus Christ, he was tempted by Satan. And Satan's always there to tempt us. Maybe it's through the avenue of worldliness. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10 that Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. How many people do we know today who've left the Lord, left the church, because of a love for the world? Now the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 18 that the things which are seen are temporal. And we are bombarded continually by the temporal. It's everywhere. And a lot of folks, just to be honest about it, kind of love things just like they are in this world. They're obsessed with this world. And that's a danger. The things of this world are temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal. Or maybe it's materialism, the desire for more things, the desire for more money. I really have compassion when I turn to Mark chapter 10 and I see that rich young ruler, a fine young man apparently, who came running to Jesus. He said, "What must I do to have eternal life?" Jesus told him to keep the commandments, and the young man said, "All these things have I kept from my youth up." What an outstanding man of character. And yet Jesus looked on his heart. He knew what his problem was. Jesus knows what our difficulties are as well. And Jesus said to this young man, you go and sell what you have, give to the poor, you'll have treasure in heaven, you come and follow me. Now here's a young man that's got his hand on the doorknob to the kingdom of heaven. And yet because of his desire for money and things, he walked away from the only one that could ever give him life. Maybe Satan tempts us through the use of our time, or maybe it's through the time we devote to recreation, or maybe it's through our pursuit of prestige or education, or it could be our job becomes the most important thing in life. You see, Peter underestimated the power of Satan. And we don't need to make the mistake. But lastly this morning, I want us to look at when Peter was in fact finally converted. In Luke 22 and verse 60, Peter denied that he even knew the Lord. And the next verse says in verse 61, the Lord turned. He looked upon Peter. The Lord turned and looked up on Peter. I thought a lot about that. I wonder what kind of look that was. Whenever I read about the Lord looking on Peter, I always think back to the last time I put a cigarette in my mouth when I was about 8 or 9 years old. Back during those couple of years, you know, I was very curious about those cigarettes, how they worked, you know, how they could make that little red thing glow and the cigarette would decrease in size and smoke would come out the mouth and nostril. My granddad smoked all of his life except for the last 14 years that he lived. And during that time, you know, he'd throw a cigarette butt down. I'd sneak off with that little end there and see if I could make that thing work like he could. Just curiosity. Well, I can remember that evening when you went with my dad to preach in a gospel meeting, as I always went with him as a little boy. And of course, back in those days, and still in some places before church, you know, the men will stand out front and they're smoking their cigarettes, right? Well, this one man was in a hurry to get inside and he threw his down. It was a whole cigarette, just been lit. And it rolled around the side, down the hill to the side of the building. And I said to myself, I've got to get a hold of that one. So I did. And I went around the side of the building. This is right before church was to start. I picked it up. I put it in my mouth. And I looked up. And there was my dad looking right at me. Now, from that moment, from that look, I have never, ever even desired to even be curious about cigarettes since that time. I wonder what kind of look it was that the Lord gave Peter. Was it a look of anger? Was it a look of disappointment? Was it a look of disgust? Was it perhaps a look of embarrassment? I wish I could have a photograph of that look so that I could keep that photograph in my car, at home, wherever I am. I don't know what kind of look it was. But I know how Peter reacted to it. The Bible says Peter went out and wept bitterly. And we can almost hear Peter say, what a fool I've been. How could I have ever treated the Lord like this? He's the best friend I ever had. The only thing Peter could do was to go out and weep bitterly. Peter was genuinely sorry for what he had done. He regretted the way he acted. And we need to realize that Peter changed. Peter turned around. Peter was converted. Think about some of the changes that he made. Here he is, he's one day cursing and swearing, I don't know the man, and 50 days later, he's the main spokesman on the day of Pentecost. What a change this man made in his life. He fearlessly stood for the truth. He suffered greatly for the cause of Christ. Later, he would write two books and our New Testament. And Peter finally became the rock that the word Peter actually means. Peter was finally converted. He changed his life. And could it be that there are some of us that need to be converted? Could it be that maybe some of us need to make some changes? You know, every one of us who are members of the body of Christ, we need to have a genuine commitment to Jesus Christ. The Lord's church needs to be the number one priority in our lives. Could it be the fact that there's some of those here who may need to do what Peter has done? We need to realize that God needs to be first in our lives. We need to ask ourselves, is the church our number one priority? Is it a part of our basic interest, a part of our basic concerns? Can the Lord count on you? Are you reliable? Are you dependable? Are you faithful to the God of heaven in everything that you do? Could it be that some of us are like Peter? Maybe we're not truly converted. Now, Peter thought he was converted. Peter said, Lord, I may have to die with you, but I'll never deny you. And yet, three times, Peter did everything he could to disassociate himself with Jesus Christ. Peter failed to realize the power of Satan. Could it be that maybe we've not reacted properly to the power and the influence of Satan? I want to ask you this morning, if you continue in the direction that you're going right now in this life, on the day of judgment, what's going to happen to your mate? If you continue in the direction that you're going right now in this life, what's going to happen to your children? What about your grandchildren? What about the friends that you have influence over? Are you really converted today? Are there people here that need to respond to the invitation? Are you sincerely and honestly putting the Lord first in your life? It may be this morning that you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel. You're not a New Testament Christian. You're outside of Christ. And in that condition, you're not converted. You're not that new creation that God wants you to be. And yet this morning, if you're willing to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, if in simple trusting faith you are willing to repent of your sins, make that confession that Jesus is the Son of God, this morning you can be baptized into the Lord's death, Romans 6, 3 and 4, where our Lord shed His blood. The blood of Jesus Christ will wash away every sin. And you can arise from that watery grave of baptism, a new creation, a child of God, a New Testament Christian. This morning, the invitation is yours if you're subject to it. We ask that you come now while we stand and sing.
What a song of delight in the city so bright, the earth and the ravens fair gone, how the ransom will break.